signs, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, son, go get my children. Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. We thank God for tonight. And it's always a pleasure coming your way Saturday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. And tonight is another edition of this program. And tonight I'm here alone. Brother Yao is somewhere up north doing some work there as well. For some days, And I'll be going through some of the news events happening tonight. I hope to open the phone lines for our listeners. It's been a long time I did that, and I felt tonight I should give our listeners some opportunity to talk about the program, what we are going to discuss tonight in the course of the program. And it's a bit worrying seeing how things are turning out, Christianity becoming lukewarm, the low standards. You know, one of the news items is quite worrying, the statistics. And you realize we have to wake up. We have to wake up. Anyway, so we'll be getting there. Well, let me start with some of the things happening. We have this that says, why so many asteroids having close calls with Earth in 2020? Have you noticed that it seems like stories about asteroids that are approaching the Earth are constantly in the news this year? It wasn't always this way. In the old days, maybe there would be a story about an asteroid every once in a while, and those stories were never a big deal. But now asteroids are zipping by our planet with frightening regularity, and several more very notable passes will happen over the next few weeks. And this is all according to NASA reports. And you know, there has been an escalation in these things. Clearly, we are not in ordinary times, as people have been saying. For example, an asteroid that was discovered on September 18th will come very, very close to the Earth. Or it came. It was Thursday that it came close. And that's according to NASA. And this asteroid will speed at more than 17,000 miles per hour. But the good news is that it's so small that it will not be a serious threat, even if it were to hit. But two other big ones are also coming to pass by the end of this month. And both of them are large enough to do some harm. But still, the chances, they are not going to hit the Earth. But then this statement, article ends with this statement, right? Very interesting one. It says, any soldier will tell you that if enough bullets get fired at you, there's very good chance that eventually you will get hit. So as more and more come close to our Earth, then that means one day something can come closer into our atmosphere. But the Bible said that there will be signs in the heavens, and so some of these things should not surprise us as believers. Nearly 100 earthquakes swam Yellowstone in 24 hours. A swarm of 91 earthquakes rattled the Yellowstone National Park region in just 24 hours on Thursday. Wow. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the quakes trembled southwest of Yellowstone Lake between Hart Lake and West Tampa. Helicopters, armed police swoop in to arrest Russian Jesus cult leader. Sergei Torop, also known as Vissarion, has been running the Church of the Last Testament in Siberia since 1991. A former traffic officer or police officer who was declared or who has declared himself Jesus reincarnated has been arrested by Russian authorities in a special operation deep in Siberia. Helicopters and armed officers were used to infiltrate the communities run by Sergei Torop, who is 59, who is more commonly known by his cult name Vissarion. He and the two aides, Vladimir Vedenikov, and Torop's right-hand man, Vadim Redkin, a former drummer in the Soviet-era boy band, were arrested in operation run by agents from Russia's FSB, Security Services, as well as police and other agencies. All three were led to waiting helicopters by masked police. Torop has been running his cult, the Church of the Last Testament, deep in the wilderness of Siberia since 1991, as the Soviet Union collapsed, and after the loss of his job in 1998, he claims to have experienced an awakening in which he adopted the persona of Jesus. quote, "I'm not God, and it is a mistake to see Jesus as God, but I'm the living word of God, the Father. Everything that God wants to say, he says it through me," unquote. He told the UK newspaper The Guardian in 2002. According to Russian media, Torop originally claimed that Jesus was watching humanity from close orbit to Earth, and that the Virgin Mary was running Russia, only later claiming to be Jesus. His community's beliefs draw on Orthodox Christianity and environmentalism, among other ideologies. Well, we need some of these people to also make the Bible true for us, because Jesus said there will be people who come saying that they are Jesus, claiming to be Jesus. So if we don't get those people coming, the Bible will not be fully true. So we need them. We need these people. All right, we have Honduras to move embassy to Jerusalem. So Netanyahu speaks to the president of Honduras and the two are to open embassies in each other's countries by the end of 2020. Things are happening regarding Israel. A lot is happening. This week, I think I read, or yesterday, I read that in the next few days or so, another Arab country intends to also sign on to the peace deal with Israel. You know, the strategy they are using now is getting the Arab or the neighbors to get into peace with Israel, and eventually that is going to force the Palestinians alone to feel odd to the point where they will agree to whatever comes up. And that looks to be the strategy that is being pushed. Well, but we have this headline that says, Jordan, Egypt, France, and Germany call for resumption of Israel-Palestinian Authority peace talks. Foreign ministers of Jordan, Egypt, France, and Germany urge Israel and the PA to restore hope to the peace process, ending the stalemate in peace talks, the creation of political horizons, and the restoration of hope through credible dialogue must be a priority, they said in a statement quoted by AFP. The meeting comes after the UAE and Bahrain formally established full diplomatic ties with Israel, the third and fourth Arab countries or states to do so after Egypt in 1979 and Jordan in 1994. China bans teachers from mentioning God or prayer and intensifies crackdown. Teachers in China who mention God or religion risk employment termination as communist authorities increasingly control education materials and expand their list of banned topics teachers are not allowed to discuss in classrooms. According to Bitter Winter, a publication produced by the Center for Studies on New Religion, which reports on human rights issues in China, the Chinese Communist Party is strictly monitoring what teachers say in schools and universities. Teachers are observed in their classrooms by authorities who watch for reactionary thoughts or improper remarks, ensuring students are not taught about democracy, religion, or exposed to any criticism of the regime. Schools in China are government-controlled and therefore communist in ideology. The government believes that religious teachers are hostile to the Communist Party, even if they don't evangelize. An English teacher from the eastern province of Shandong said. Then the CPP is afraid that they would integrate faith into teaching. That's why they strictly control teachers and want them to follow its ideological system and eventually become puppets that cannot think independently. A college teacher in Inner Mongolia told Bitter Winter that last year, a central government inspection team came to the school to investigate teachers' ideological standing concerning pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. Teachers who responded by espousing improper remarks were punished. "We were observed during every class," the teacher said, adding that the Chinese Ministry of Education demanded teachers, quote, "not to say or do anything against the party line in their educational or teaching activities," unquote. Another teacher, English teacher from Shandong, told Bitter Winter that the Provincial Educational Bureau criticized her for mentioning God and prayer during a class of JNR, while another was criticized for mentioning mealtime prayers whilst discussing dining traditions in various countries. Just don't mention God or prayer, and you'll be a free teacher. In trouble for Christians who are teachers there. To India, we have Hindu extremists kill church planter and dump body in the woods. A church planter in India's Maharashtra state was brutally killed by a Hindu extremist after suffering years of abuse for his Christian faith amid escalating religious intolerance and violence in the country. Persecution watchdog International Christian Concern reports that on July 10th, unknown Hindu extremist murdered Pastor Munshi Thadu, 35, and left his body in the forest near Bapari village in the Godkoroli district. And then the Hindus reportedly dragged the pastor from his home, ignoring the wife's Rajini's pleas for life to be spared, for his life to be spared. In 5 years preceding his death, Pastor Munshi lived in the forest near Bapari village due to village pressure. Village leaders, angered by Munshi's evangelistic efforts, demanded he recant his Christian faith. When the pastor refused to comply with their demands, he was chased out of the village. Following his ostracism from his community, Munshi, who was part of a Maoist separate group prior to his conversion to Christianity, continued to evangelize, leading nearly 24 families to Christ. He was killed because of his faith, life, and ministry to the Advansi people in the area, one of the colleagues told ICC. He led more than 20 families to Christ in the last five years, ever since he was thrown out of the village by some Hindu radicals. India has roughly 66 million Christians out of the total population of approximately 1.36 billion. The country has seen a steady rise in persecution of Christians over the past decade, according to Open Doors USA, which ranks India as the 10th most dangerous place to live as a believer. Then, 85-year-old widow evicted from apartment for offering to pray for people. Dinah Martin, 85, had been living in her Hanford apartment for nearly 14 years. The owner and city's vice mayor, John Draxler, informed her earlier this year that she had been evicted for sharing her faith and offering to pray for individuals. He then also added that her age attributed to her eviction in the follow-up discussions. Draxia still told her to leave despite knowing her rent was fully paid and she had nowhere to go to. When Martin started to cry, protesting that it was winter and she had no children living nearby, Draxia reportedly told her that was not his problem. She has since moved out, according to CBN News. The complex had been advertised to seniors when Martin moved in over a decade ago, but management changed and invited younger people in the later years, removing as many elderly inhabitants as possible, including Martin. What happened to our client? Dinah Martin was wrong on many levels, according to attorney, who was in a press release. No one should be evicted based on her religious expression, but especially not an elderly great-grandmother. We are hopeful that the state investigation and remedial action will ensure this doesn't happen to anyone else in this community. So the fact that she was, you know, praying for people around and all, angered, persecution. Okay, then we have twin sisters kidnapped and pastor and three others killed in Nigeria. Then another news says that Christian killed in Fulani herdsmen ambush in north central Nigeria. As for the persecution in Nigeria, it's not ending and keeps increasing. Okay, let me get to this worrying headline or this worrying news. Just 2% of millennials. I mean, millennials are those, I mean, virtually born on the turn of the century. And so those in the 20 and this group, just 2% of millennials hold a biblical worldview. And this is the lowest among adults, according to a study. Although 61% of Americans, you know, I know this thing cuts across. Yes, this survey was done in America, but the trend goes beyond the U.S. I see similar traits in Ghana as well. And that's the general, threat to Christianity because, I will talk more anyway. Let's continue. Although 61% of American millennials consider themselves to be Christian, just 2% of them were found to hold biblical worldview, according to a recent study released by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. A biblical worldview, as previously defined by Banner, includes believing that absolute moral truths exist and that such truth is defined by the Bible, as well as firm belief in six specific religious views. Those views are that Jesus Christ lived in a sinful life, God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe and still rules it today. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned. Satan is real. A Christian has a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with other people, and the Bible is accurate in all of its teachings. These things that I've read of the Christians who are in the youthful age or ages, only 2% believed these things. And they claim to be Christians, so. But only 2%. If you take 100 Christians in the ages 20, 21, all those groups, only 2 believe that Jesus lived a sinless life, God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe, and he still rules it today. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned. Satan is real. A Christian has a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with other people, and the Bible is accurate in all its teachings. Only 2 of 100 Christian youth believe these things. This means there's something wrong with Christianity now, because these are the fundamentals. Technically, these are the fundamentals of Christianity. And if you don't believe these things, then where is your faith? What makes you a Christian? What do you base your faith on? Because if you don't believe in the Bible being an inspired word of God, and it's truth, and in everything the Bible is true, then what do you believe in? It's really serious. Well, let me continue. The American Worldview Inventory 2020 study found that while 6% of American adults in general hold a biblical worldview, millennials, that's 18 to 36 year olds, were the least likely among all adults to hold a biblical worldview. Data for the annual study was collected in January 2020 through an assessment based on 51 worldview related questions drawn from 8 categories of worldview application, measuring such beliefs and behavior. It included a nationally representative sample of 2,000 adults. Along with the stark rejection of traditional Christian belief, millennials were also found in the study to reject most basic American values, like respect for others and obligations of civic engagement. Whilst millennials have shown the most radical shift away from the Bible, other generations did not fare much better. There's something wrong somewhere. Only an estimated 9% of adults in both the elder group, that's 75 years and older, and the boomer generation, that's 56 to 74 years of age, hold a biblical worldview. Only 9% of even those over 75, And between those 56 to 74, only 9% of this group hold a biblical worldview. Among the Generation X, that's my group, between 37 to 55, so this group too, the percentage of subscribers to biblical worldview drops to 5%. 5%. These profiles are profoundly disturbing, according to George Banner, director of research at the Cultural Research Center, in a statement on Tuesday. Indeed, it is very, very disturbing. And these things, I can say for sure, are not limited to the U.S. It is, I mean, it's a widespread thing across other countries as well. Not in the East, but the Western parts, and us who also follow the Western Christianity, as I call it. These profiles are profoundly disturbing. The significantly divergent worldview perspectives and the applications of the four generations, especially how different the millennials are from all of their predecessors, suggest a nation that is at war with itself to adopt new values, lifestyles, and a new identity. In other words, there is war for worldview dominance. But as the scriptures remind us, a nation at war with itself cannot persist, he noted. Compared to other groups of adults, millennials are significantly less likely to believe in the existence of absolute moral truth, or that God is the basis of all truth. To believe that human beings were created by God in his image, and that he loves them unconditionally, pray and worship regularly, or seek God's will for their lives. They don't want to believe these things. So I keep asking, so what type of Christianity are they practicing? What type of Christianity? Also, they are significantly more likely to wonder if God is really involved in their life, to believe that human life has no absolute value, and to believe that having faith matters more than which faith they have. That means you can believe anything indirectly. That's what they are saying. The data also pointed out that America is losing its spiritual unity at a rapid pace, Banner said. Even a rudimentary understanding of the foundations of American Republic reminds us that unless the U.S. maintains spiritual unity under the hand of God, we will not be able to sustain the freedoms that have made this nation unique and desirable. On and on. It's not surprising that the youth are burning their country's flags and jumping over their flags. I mean, there's something wrong with this generation group. And it's worrying, very, very worrying. But I'll come to it later in the program. Then this final, I think this should be the final news item. Yeah. The headline says, we are living in a Kairos moment. Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, I mean, quote and unquote, Kairos moment. Repentance is necessary, according to Christian leaders. Christian leaders are gathering together in the U.S. to focus, the U.S. capital, to focus on repentance in tumultuous times and what some believe is a Kairos moment in history. Without repentance, we have nothing else. That is the foundation of the order of God in scriptures and in all things. Kelvin Jessup, president of Global Strategic Alliance, told the Christian Post. Jessup and several others are assembling in Washington, D.C. this week to pray and cry out to God for revival. Known as the Return, a national and global movement of prayer and repentance, the 10-day event began with the Feast of Trumpets, on the Feast of Trumpets, that's September 18, and will end on the Day of Atonement, that's 28 September. This is also known as the Days of El, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This year, it also coincides with the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower. When people go from rebellion to redemption, there is a process, he explained. First, there is a repentance to reconciliation, then restoration, and then comes revival. Jessup believes that A righteous praying remnant of believers has been seeking God for this for many years. I believe God has given us a Kairos moment in time where he affords us the opportunity, and we can't miss this opportunity. We have to come and bow before a holy God in holy reverence, humble ourselves, seek his face, and cry out, "Repent for our sins," he said. As part of the revival, leaders from over 150 countries, will be participating in a day of prayer today, that's on Saturday. The broadcast will be hosted over 90 languages in real-time translation. I think when I was leaving home, I saw some of the notices like streaming online, the program. Christian leaders are gathering together from different parts of the world to focus on repentance in these times. And, you know, clearly, this is important because he added that he believes that we are in a Jonah-Nineveh moment. Jonah went to Nineveh and said, "It's 40 days, folks, then it's all over." And they had repentance and revival. That's where we are today, according to Jessup. And indeed, we are living in the times where repentance should be our priority as Christians. We really, really need to get back to the basics of Christianity. We really... something is just not right. Not even one, a lot of things are just not right with what we call Christianity today. And I'll be back after this song of Basics of Life.
We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awaken the back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics we need to get back to, the basics of life. Oh, oh. The newest rage is the reason it out. Just meditate, overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive, but I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa, I still believe
there is hope for the lost.
And I know the rock of all ages will stand the changes of time, through the changes of time. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all.
heart that is pure and a love that is
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband. How many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
Now, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. Indeed, you heard the statistics I was talking about. And, you know, it's worrying and it's getting worrying because our system is being undermined. This week, I believe some of you saw the Creative Arts book that has Shatta Wale in as, you know, let me see if I can find that picture here. And I just don't know. My mind just couldn't, when I saw it, I said, there's something wrong with our society. Because, you see, these things look harmless to the ordinary person. Lesson 4. It's a creative arts book, but as to the class, maybe if someone listening knows which class that book is for, you can... send me a WhatsApp 0244-638-757. The publishers are Alpha and Omega Series, Creative Arts Textbook 4. Oh, okay. So it's class 4. Okay. So textbook 4. I've seen it. It's class 4. And this page has the page 61, lesson 4. Performing arts artworks created by Shatta Wale. His picture is there with this ungodly hairstyle and whatever there. And we have discuss in groups or in pairs. Do you know the musician in the picture above? Then the second point, let us sing and perform one of his songs. So this is a practical thing that's going to happen in classrooms. Let us sing and perform one of his songs. I mean, come on, class 4 children. You are going to allow them to sing and perform Shatta Wale's song in class? What's wrong with us as a country? Are we sick that we go this low to accept this in our curriculum? Shatta Wale is a Ghanaian reggae dancehall musician. His real name is Charles Ni Ama Mensah Jr. He was born on October 17th, 1984. He is known by the stage name Shatawale, formerly Bandana. His known song is Dancehall King. Then the following are some titles of songs in of his music videos, and they've stated some of them. Then at the practice part in the lesson, they've written, sing and dance to one of Shatawale's popular songs. You know, I believe parents should ensure we go through the textbooks our children are using, because this is what we've seen. What of other things in there you may not be aware of? This is what has come out in the public, and I saw it in some news networks and all that. So what if there are other unpleasant things in the books that will be give our children will be using, the newly approved books by NACA? You know, but this is the society we live in, where morals are being undermined. You know, I've been complaining in the last few weeks on this issue, not only on this program, but friends discussing and all, where I see that the youth is being influenced negatively by this secular singer, Shatawale and Stoneboy. And the influence is so great, including Christian youth and teenagers. And now they've brought it so low to class 4 at the primary level. So you see, you know, I have some neighbors, and sometimes I'm planning to talk to them and all that, but I can see how this thing has influenced them so badly. They are in the early, late teens and early 20s, thereabout. And when you hear them talking, it's only two things: football, entertainment, then either Shatawale or Stoneboy. And they claim to be Christians. Actually, two of them, even or three of them, stay in an Assemblies of God pastor's house. You know, and I just marvel, because you realize the influence is so strong. So when I saw this, that in a class 4 book, children are now going to be linked to this guy who is already a negative influence on the society, I realized we are in trouble as a country. We are in big trouble as a country, because for those who remember when I was discussing CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education, when they tried to bring it and I was making a lot of noise about it and all that, I read one article of this woman who listed 10 points how they were used to control the world and all that. And one of the things she talked about, you see, to use the educational system to indoctrinate. And you see, that's what they've done. So you see, when people watch the news and this whole millennial thing I talked about, the statistics and all in the US and all, it's not too surprising too much too, because the educational system is what they've used to achieve that. And that's exactly what is happening in Ghana. That's exactly what is happening. They use the educational system to undermine the moral fiber of the society. So in the name of, we are changing curriculum, we are doing this, we are doing that, at the end of the day, the children will be worse off. And that's exactly what is happening in the Western countries, or has happened, and is still happening. And we are now starting it here, the distraction stage, where we are going to undermine our moral fiber of the children through some of these things. This is a classic example, because you see, unless, for any Christian who has a problem with saying or criticizing Shatawale, that means I really doubt your Christianity in the first place. But no spirit-filled person can love or like his songs. For that one, it's a clear, because the spirit behind his songs, or those people, their songs, a Christian cannot accept it. A Christian cannot accept it. So, if these things are allowed and children are going to sing and dance to it, invariably what is going to happen is you send your child to school innocently, and your child is going to pick bad habits and demonic influences and controls and bring it home. These things are, there are spirits behind them. These songs, are, they have spirits behind them which control. So haven't you seen the youth now? Most, they want to do their hair like Shatawale and Stoneboy, those funny, funny hairstyles that they are doing, because they see it and they influence, they are role models. And that is exactly what the import of this lesson in schools is, to introduce this, indirectly introduce them to the children at that younger age. And it's dangerous because, see, this week, one of my, classmates, I saw his picture, his profile picture, and his two boys. You know, when I saw it before, I saw this news, actually. I saw it earlier in the week before I got this one. And the boys, one is 5 years, one is like 9 years, and they've done their hair like Shatawale. When I saw it, I said, wow. I mean, if you're a parent and you're allowing your children to go this way at this young age, they want to look like this person they are seeing on TV, and you also allow them, that means you're in trouble. And this is an example how this influence will come. When the children start singing and dancing their songs in school, they will now fall in love with it, because these are spiritual things. I mean, this is a Christian program, so I mean, we can talk it from the spiritual angle. There are demons behind these celebrities and their songs. Soon, your child becomes addicted to it. Then, the influences that come, the negative influences and their lifestyle, affects the children. Now, when you take them to Baba, they will start telling you that you want this picture, the picture, I want to be like Shatawale. You see the picture there, daddy, that picture there, I want my hair style to be like that. You see, it starts from somewhere, and then, you see, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. So when you see some of these things, as Christians, we should be able to know where this thing is going to end, or where it is taking us. We really have to wake up as Christians, because these things looks like, oh, what's the big deal? It's just one page. It's not just one page. There's far more to it than one page. It's one page, yes, you are seeing one page, but the spiritual contents in there is heavy download that would affect the child who follows this to the latter. You know, let's get into some Bible. The Bible is clear about the... Let me read 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17. Please, you can send your messages to 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And I think, yeah, 02446. So WhatsApp and SMS. I hope to open the phone lines, in about 30 minutes, hopefully. Yeah. 1 John 2:15, 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, he didn't say for some, he didn't say for most, it says for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Then let me read James 4, 4. James 4, 4. Says that, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, he didn't say some, it says whosoever, that means there's no exception. Whosoever means whosoever, including you and I, everyone. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This is a very serious, serious verse. Could it be that a lot of us are enemies of God? And by the way, this was written to Christians. So don't bring in this issue of grace, and Christ paid the price and everything. So that this doesn't apply to us. This was written to Christians. So this warning and admonition goes to Christians. James was written to Christians. It wasn't written for the worldly people. It was written to the Christians. So ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So this is a warning. So if you're a Christian and you want to be in link, friendship with the world, then you are making yourself an enemy of God. It doesn't matter whether you are born again or not. This is a principle. So whosoever, including every believer, every Christian, every pastor, every deacon, every elder, every member, therefore, who will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This is as simple as it is. I mean, there is no other. We can't run away from this. It is a two-way thing. Either you are a friend of God, a child of God, a son of God, daughter of God, or you are an enemy of God. But you see, friendship of the world is what the devil has managed and is still managing to get us trapped in. So a whole lot of things happening now in the world is an entrapment for we and everybody, Christians and non-believers and everyone, to love the world. So the world system has been designed in a way that you fall in love with it. And the devil knows this very well. The devil knows this verse. That if he is able to get you to love the world and the things in it, then that means you are losing your place on the side of God. Because this is the word of God. If you love the world, then you are an enemy to God. The two cannot hold. You see, unfortunately, we've been practicing a type of Christianity where it's been assumed and it's been pushed, and people have accepted it, that you can have a blend of Christianity with the world type of thing, and it's acceptable. So a little here, a little there, and it's like, so we are here a little, we are there a little, we are in the world a little, we are in the church a little, a certain type of Christianity. And this is prevalent, especially in this millennial group, as I read. And the same thing is in Ghana. It's happening in Ghana. It's happening. The same characteristics, where it's like they want to practice everything that they see in the world, and still they want to call themselves Christians. They want to enjoy all the goodies in the world, and still they want to still claim that they are speaking in tongues. They want to be part of everything the world is doing, every worldly show, every worldly event, every worldly entertainment. They want to enjoy it and be part of it, and still they want to fall under the anointing in church. So it's like we don't want to let go of the world, and yet we also don't want to let go of Christ. So we hold here a little. So we are practicing a type of Christianity where we are active Sunday morning, we are active as Christians. And from Sunday morning after church till the next in between that period, we go back as partial worldly people, be like the world, do all the worldly things, and then Sunday morning we revive ourselves again, we put on the uniform as Christians. So it's like people who do two jobs. Sunday morning we wear the uniform as Christians, and then from Sunday afternoon through to the next Saturday dawn or Sunday dawn, we wear the uniform as worldly people. And this is what James 4:4 is saying. We are enemies of God. If we want to know the truth, this is the hard truth. We are enemies of God if this is where we are. Because we cannot love both. It's not possible. We cannot love God and still love the world and expect that blend is acceptable. A hybrid Christianity. You know, we have hybrid cars where some use the normal petrol diesel, and then they can also put on and use electrical, so like electric or electric power. So if you see hybrid cars, there are a few in Ghana. I mean, I've seen a few where, so at the back, they, I mean, it's like if it's Honda, they've written hybrid at the, so Honda Civic hybrid. So that means it's electric car as well as the normal petrol. Or we also have hybrid for those who use petrol, gas, petrol, and then also the norm gas, LPG. So it's a hybrid. You can use this and use that depending on what you want to use. And that is, that hybrid Christianity is what is now the prevailing type of Christianity, where Christians who are semi-worldly and then semi-spiritual on the Christian side. So they blend. When they are fellow worldly people, they fit in fully. When they come to church too, they fit in fully. So they blend effectively whichever way they are or wherever they find themselves. And this is gaining numbers. This type of Christianity is increasing. The statistics I read is obvious. The millennials, 2%, just 2%, believe that the Bible is true. The Bible is fully inspired word of God. Believe that God is in charge of, you know, these fundamental beliefs of Christianity. Only 2% believe it, because now they've accepted the fact that a Christian can have a freedom to live anyway, anyhow, because of the grace. And at the end of the day, well, we are forever saved. It doesn't matter whether we sin or not. We can continue sinning. We can continue fornicating. A pastor said we are forever saved, so who cares? This deception is all part of this influencing thing that is happening. So there's no striving for holiness. There's no striving to please God. There's no striving to live by the standards of the Bible. Because we've been told something else, that it's okay to still be in the world and come to church once in a while. Well, God still accepts you, you know, anything goes, because of the grace, the abuse of the grace. You know, just an example of this abuse of the word grace of God. You know, yesterday, this Western Togoland, whatever they were trying to, the secessionist group, Joy FM was interviewing one of them. And yes, we shot two policemen, and we've kidnapped three of them. He said, by the grace of God, I was so furious. So you do an evil thing as kidnapping the police, shooting two police officers, wounding them, and you use the by the grace of God. So the grace of God enabled you to do that evil thing. You see, so from his talking, clearly he's a Christian. But you see, the abuse of the word, the grace of God. So even when an evil thing like this, a criminal action is being perpetrated, you can boldly attach the grace of God to it. This is just an example of how we have a very dangerous, I mean, delusion or deception and the real meaning of grace of God. So Christians are busy doing evil things. And oh, the grace of God is there. The grace. Just like this secessionist guy who was interviewed on radio yesterday. The grace of God. In the midst of doing a crime, an evil thing, we are using the word grace, the grace of God. And that's the type of Christianity we are seeing. So we are doing evil things. We are loving the world and the things in the world, the cares of everything. We are doing it fully. And we don't care because we believe the grace of God. It's okay, and accepts and approves it. We have to renew the way we see these things, because else, you know, the fact that there's a verse in the Bible that says that he would reject people on that day, that should give us a caution to know that we can't live our way and escape God's wrath and anger. So he said, many shall come on that day and you say, I never knew you. He didn't say few, he said many. Many. We prophesied in your name. Let me just read it fully. We prophesied in your name. You know, let me get to Matthew, I believe. Yeah. Matthew 7:22. Let me start from 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of my Father which is in heaven. 22. Many, not few, many will come, or many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Simply put, ye that lived sinful lives. Ye that work iniquity. Ye that lived sinful lives. That's what it means. That's what it means. And let me just, if the back to the First John, there's this verse there. Let's look at it critically again. The First John 2. First John 2. Mm-hmm. The 17 says, and the world passeth away, and the last thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In Matthew, it says, he that doeth the will of the Father. It's the same thing here. The will of God abideth forever. You see, so what is the will of God? That we should not live in sin. Because he's saying we should not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see, these are the things that bring forth sin. So we should not love these things. And Jesus says that if prophets and those who do signs and wonders will be rejected for sin, living in sin, they are much more the ordinary believer who is also living in sin full time. You think you can get a pass and move on to heaven? When Jesus says even people who prophesied and did wonderful works, he will say he doesn't know them. And you who is not doing anything for God and still living in sin comfortably, you think you get a VIP pass and enter the kingdom. We should stop deceiving ourselves. We should stop deceiving ourselves and get real with what the Bible says. You see, this is the reason why the millennials and more Christians don't want to accept the Bible as it is, because they are not comfortable with the hard truths in the Bible. People don't want to accept the Bible as the infallible word of God fully, because they now see things in the Bible and it's like, no, as for this one, we can't live by it. No, this is not acceptable. You know, there are Christians now who have problems accepting Matthew 5, 6, 7. The Sermon on the Mount. They have problems accept, because to them it's not possible to live by these dictates. No. That means we can't be Christians because they are too difficult and too hard. And indeed, Matthew chapters, what I read, Matthew 7, that's where it's part of that discourse Jesus had on the Mount. So there are now Christians who say we'll pick portions of the Bible that is sweet and acceptable to our faith, our so-called redefined faith. We've redefined faith to be sweet and good. So portions of the Bible that fit it, yes, we accept those ones. So we'll gladly accept verses from the Psalms, the Proverbs, yes, those ones are good. But then the words of Jesus, no, we don't want to go there. We don't want to accept it. The words of Paul, which also are hard, no. But we accept the sweet ones, which are about grace. Yes, that one is good news. But the ones that he talks about, flee fornication, we don't want to accept it. The one that he says, die to self, die to sin, we don't want to accept it. You see, so we pick and choose, and then we've created our own type of Christianity. And we are running wild with it. And we think we are saved. We think we are going to heaven. We think we are born again. We think God loves us. We think the Holy Spirit is with us. We've deceived ourselves thinking we are on our way to heaven. But Jesus gave a caution in Matthew 7. That's what I just read. That many will come and say to him, they will mention his name. Oh, Jesus, we knew you. We were born again. And he said, I didn't know you because you were living in sin. Ye that work iniquity, you were living in sin. Not that you fell in sin once and you repented and you stopped. That's a different case. But you were comfortably living in sin
And you didn't make any effort to leave that sinful world because you wanted to be in the world fully. And still, on the last day, come and mention my name, then I give you a pass, you enter heaven. No, you can't deceive God. You can't deceive God. And that's exactly what is happening. Christians, pastors, no. I mean, Jesus mentioned it. The prophets. That means they prophesied. They were prophets. But they were living in sin. Because they thought, because of who they are, they can still enter because they are doing God's work. But they can still live in sin. And then on the last day, they will still have access because they did God's work. But Jesus didn't consider what they were doing or what they did. He was looking at the lifestyle. They lived in sin. Ye that work iniquity. You lived in sin. And this is it. The whole summary of it is you were living, you love the world. Love of the world is what was the problem. So if we don't cut the links that we have to the world, with the world, the things that are drawing us into the world, the things that are pulling us back into the world, the chains that are holding us in the world, and free ourselves and get fully into Christ. This same thing Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, it will apply to us. Because nobody's above that verse. That verse is there as the word of God, and it will be there on the judgment day. Nobody can escape that verse and say that this verse will not apply to me. No, it applies to everyone. If you don't live in sin, good news. But if you live in sin, that verse will apply to you. So we cannot deceive God. We cannot tickle ourselves in the dark and be laughing and think we are doing someone. We are doing our own. We are just deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. And you see, the reason why these statistics should be a sign of worry for, especially pastors, deacons, elders, church leaders, should be worried because we've not done the statistics in Ghana or the survey in Ghana. But you can conveniently extend the statistics in the U.S. into Ghana because the lifestyles that they are living there, we are seeing is the same lifestyles we are seeing here. The same love of the world is what we are having, the love of the world here, fornication, sexual sins. It's the same thing. Drunkenness, all these things. It's the same. It's the same because they all watch the same movies, the same entertainment. It's the internet. We are just one world. Everything is the same. So when you see these statistics out there, you can conveniently have an idea that these things are also the problems we are facing, especially when it's the reality. I mean, unless we are pretending to be ostriches that we don't see what is happening. But if you want to be objective and be sincere, we cannot pretend, we cannot say that these things are not happening in our Christianity in Ghana here. It's the same thing that's happening. The low standard of Christianity amongst even the youth. Adults know better, but the youth is serious and very, very alarming. And it's time churches and pastors and leaders paid a serious attention to youth churches and the teenagers. Because, you see, we've branded teen church and youth church to be some entertainment type of place where we just want people to feel good when they come to church. I mean, who told you that church Christianity is about feeling good when you go to church? You know, we've realigned the whole worship of God into... I saw a video this week in a church somewhere in the U.S. where they brought in train, this toy train that's, you know, when they do programs in Kumasi, they bring their children, sit in the train and it moves around. In the stage of a church, they've fixed some and then people are sitting in the church. I said, what is this? What is this? We want to make Christianity fun and entertainment. You see, but when let's not forget that when you use fun and entertainment to draw people into Christ, you have to use that same fun and entertainment to maintain and sustain them in the so-called Christ that you brought them into. Because it was fun and entertainment that made him want to be in church, the church that you invited him. He saw it and he was happy. He came and he was happy. Oh, this place is funky. Wow. Okay. Now, if you brought him in by that way and method, then to keep him there, you have to keep doing that thing all the time. Because if you now stop and go back to singing hymns and then preaching against fornication and sex and all those things, then they'll stop and go. So we've created an entertainment system and we call it church. Youth and teen churches are mostly entertainment. Just making them feel good, and they are losing the real foundation that they need. We are not addressing the real issues of sin because we don't want to offend. We are not addressing the real issues of worldliness because we don't want to offend. We believe because of grace, these things don't matter. But the Bible is saying the opposite. So why are we turning against the word of God? Because the word of God is what stands. It's not our opinions, it's not what we feel like, it's the word of God that stands and we should go by. And we have to be careful because, you see, we are dealing with the souls of people, eternity. Eternity is forever. At the end of the day, what does it matter? I mean, when all is said and done, it's about heaven or hell. So why are we allowing the devil to deceive us and entrap us and to let us feel as if we are living a good life, when indeed that good life will not end as well? I'll be back after this short break.
Guys, I was just hovering over Bethlehem, and they put the Lord in a manger. It's the cutest thing.
Come on, get in line. We're about to make the announcement to those shepherds.
We're announcing the greatest moment in history to shepherds?
Yes.
It's dark down there. They'll never see us.
We've got it covered. Are the lights set?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready with the announcement?
I bring you...
Hold it. That'll scare them.
Okay, Fear not! I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.
Okay, choir, it may not be a big audience, but it's a big message.
The birth of Jesus Christ was announced to common shepherds. While he was here, Jesus told us that he would return for anyone who believes in him. If Christ came back tonight, would you be ready?
What was that?
One of the sheep?
Relax.
Nothing ever happens out here.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Right, all right. Okay, welcome back. Issues of Life. This is Eben. And, you know, the song that played is really a powerful one. You know, there's a silent war that's raging deep within. My lower nature fights to dominate. My spirit man is poised and locked in battle. With the carnal side of me, I've grown to hate. The trumpet of my prayers play towards heaven. A voice of desperation in my cry. Lord, strengthen me that I might not yield myself to sin. But keep your righteous banner lifted high. Lord, I hunger for holiness, and I thirst for the righteousness that's yours, that my mind would be cleansed and my spirit renewed, and this temple that you dwell in would be pure. This is a perfect prayer to pray. The tempter stalks about me as a lion, searching for the slightest sense of blood. For when the skin of my resistance is broken, he moves in swiftly to deepen the cuts. The Lord of creation, hear your servant. You understand the weakness of man. I'm counting myself crucified with Christ, alive to Christ and dead indeed to sin. Lord, I hunger for holiness and I thirst for the righteousness that's yours, that my mind would be cleansed and my spirit renewed, and this temple that you dwell in, yes, this temple that you dwell in, Lord, I hunger for holiness, and on and on. You know, this is a beautiful prayer. See, there is a battle going on, a raging battle, the flesh and the spirit. And the arsenals of the flesh keep increasing. You see, that's why it says we should not love the works of the flesh. I mean, you should not love the flesh. I mean, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, these things are all increasing. The things that constitute the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, they keep increasing. So the things that are tempting us, you know, the temptations our parents faced years back, it's just a small fraction of what we are facing today. Because the things we are exposed to, they didn't see one tenth of it in their time. The things we have that are now drawing us and are competing with God in our lives, or competing with God in our lives and making it difficult for us to serve God, they didn't have those things. Mobile phone, internet, multiple TV channels, I mean, football betting, all these things didn't exist in their time. Nothing. Internet, all these things, they didn't have it. Our parents' time in the 50s, 60s, they didn't have all these things. So the challenge to be a Christian, it was minimal. But now our time, the challenge to be a Christian are enormous. It's a lot. The things that will draw you from being a Christian are many. The economy and all these things, I mean, it was not as bad. I mean, their time, life was, economy and everything was much more, I mean, better than. You see, so we find ourselves surrounded by a system which is like a magnet pulling you from God and drawing you away from God. So now this resistance, you have to resist. Build yourself. Your spirit man should be strong to resist the flesh. And this song depicts it classically. I mean, there is a war going on, a raging war. The flesh is pulling you, and your spirit man should resist. But if we allow the flesh to always dominate and win, then we fall in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the cycle goes on and on. So we always live in sin, one sin after the other, constant. We repent, we fall in it, we repent, we fall in it, we repent. So there's no spiritual growth. We are where we are. The same sins we're struggling 10 years ago, we are still in the same set of sins, sometimes even deeper and worse than we used to be in. So it's like we look at our Christian lives and we are where we are. We've not made any progress because you became born again 15 years ago. And you look back and it's like you're even a better Christian then than now, because now you look at yourself and it's like, I mean, you've gone back. You know yourself spiritually. You've gone down and you are struggling in the world because the life, the worldly things are drawing you and it's attractive to you. You know, the devil took Jesus up. He showed him the cities of the world. All this belongs to me. You know, the devil doesn't change his strategies. The same set, he still brings the same thing. He's dangling the same worldly desires before us, deceiving us, tricking us. The same lust of the flesh, the fleshy things, deceiving us, the same things. You see, so it's time we realize that this is war. This is a real issue. This is battle for your soul. Your soul is at stake. My soul is at stake. Are we just going to sit quietly and allow the devil to run us down and take us to hell? Or we are going to stand and resist and oppose his ways and his moves? Because, you see, eternity is at stake. In all this we talk about, in all these things. Fortunately, one listener just sent me what I was talking about, the chatter of the woman. What's her name? Ten points, the chatter by Alice Allen Bailey. And let me quickly, for the sake of our listeners who might not have listened to it those times, just go through briefly. The headline, I'll just read the titles. I won't go through the details for the sake of time. The 10 points, Alice Bailey said, when you are changing a nation, don't bother with the old generation. They are too stuck in the old traditions. They will not change, but go for the children. And that is what she did. She said, go for the children, especially 10 years and below. Since 1945, that is, any person below 60 years can be a victim of the ideas and the deception of this prophetess of New Age. She came out with a 10-point charter that is placed in the House of Lords, the House of Commons in the UK. Today, our government and parliament are implementing this, the strategy, the 10-point charter. Purpose, to change Christian tradition or to redeem the nations of Christian tradition. One, take God and prayer out of the education system. Two, reduce parental authority over the children. Three, destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family structure. Four, if sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Five, make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Yeah. Then debase art. Make it run mad. And let me stress on that one quickly. How? Promote new forms of art which will corrupt and defile the imagination of people, because art is the language of the spirit. That which is inside, you can bring out in painting, music, drama, etc. Look at the quality of music that is coming out, the films out of Hollywood, Nollywood, etc. So we see this is where the Shatawale thing falls under. They are using the arts. So it's creative arts. That's where the book is. I mean, it's in the book, creative arts. You see, they are using this to undermine the system. The next one says, use media to promote and change mindsets. And they've done it perfectly. Create an interfaith movement. And then the next is, get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. You know, these things we are seeing, the world we are in and the things happening, it didn't start today. It's been planned, strategic plan, short term, medium term, long term. Some of the things we are seeing now were planned 70 years ago. This one was written, I mean, 60 years ago, thereabout. You know, there's this book, The New World Order. You read portions of the book and it's as if the man is writing the book today, because the things he wrote 20 or 30 years ago, now the things are happening. But he wrote it before, because he had the foreknowledge of what had been planned. And it's unfolding exactly as he said. You see, so we are living in a system where the globalists have set things in motion. They think they are doing their own thing. They are running God and all these things. But the issue is, they also are aligning themselves to fulfill Bible prophecy. So they think they are doing something against God, but God is also using them to fulfill his words anyway. But we, the Christians, we should be wiser and not to fall in the traps that they've set for the world. Because if we, as Christians, will also fall into the trap that they've set, then what's the difference? Because these things are supposed to entrap the worldly people. But we Christians should be wise and know that this is a trap the devil has set. It will amaze you that you have Christians who will be angry and be justifying why it's okay for Shatawale to be in the book for class 4. Yeah, you have Christians who justify it. And I mean, seriously, I mean, I wonder how a Christian can support such a thing. And I just had a text from a teacher. He says, good evening, Peter from Patase. I'm a teacher, and what is in the curriculum is very true. Not only that, there are a lot of these immoral things in. Also, many of these immoral acts of children in the youth are influenced by guardians and the society. This is from a teacher. Stanley says, Brethren, remember 414 Windows program which was on your network? So they are using the creative art book to capture the people, as we all know. That's the age of decision, Stanley. It's true. Okay, this message also says, MBY, what number are we using for the phone calls? Okay, so for the calls, you can use 0546-898-888. 0546-898-888. you know, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, and I mean, what strategies are you putting in place to ensure your children do not fall into this trap? Your children, those below 10, those who, if you are, they are teenagers in their early 20s, what are you doing as a parent? If you are also in that group yourself, and you, I mean, what are you doing to protect yourself? And what advice can you give your fellow peers and all that? 0546. Is it? Yeah, so those are the phone lines you are using. 0546-898-888. And let me read some of the messages whilst we talk. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, sir, Mr. Eben.
Yeah, good evening.
This Pastor Kai is a long time.
Yeah, long time. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You see, the fact is this. Christianity is about knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about 40 days fasting, 50 days fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You can fast for 100 years. If you lack knowledge, yeah, you still fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in the book of Isaiah 3:15, he said, I'll give you shepherds that will lead you with knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this Shatawale hairdo, it is purely marine spirit hairdo. Mm-hmm. That people don't know. When you do it, you are inviting the demon ignorantly into your life. It's not like putting a chain around your ankle. You are inviting spirit of lust into your life. You see, and you know, we have to pray for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
They are so crazy about this haircut. And one thing is, the enemy is preparing them for future. He's going to use them as antichrist soldiers.
Yeah.
Because most of them are mad now. But they are putting on clothing, so we don't know they are mad. They are crazy. This is the hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
All the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. 0546-898-888. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah,
good evening.
Yeah,
Boko. What's your
name?
I'm Mr. Boaji.
Okay.
I am a person. I can be 3 years old. I did say, they now work and wrong. See, solemn debris, almost forefathers, and obviously, I'm going to establish here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as a son, in person, a bar solid. So, I won't say that by you to know a young Yama, it is a best so you to any send a bear you to never come said the old kind. Titi, any intimate cumber of Ukraine, no matter a mountain of upon your life, oh, the young find your food. But think, I won't say, send your son, and near my papa and the shah, so on as an Ukrainian, a bit more my son is standard than a jina. And it's because of, say, you to know or more ban on penny for no fun, say, you to any castle no monte montino. No more than Yamaha for rural runs on it. I'm not going to mean the rarity of the stretcher. It must be a moment, pie, my nine so cry and eat your person a kind of training in your combat program, Mr. Uncle Babu.
You, okay, right. That's it. You. Samuel sent this message. Good evening, Reverend. This apostasy in Ghana now is mainly being propagated by Avram Ben Moshe. And sadly, majority of people who ordinarily would have been strong believers are now following his teachings and are questioning the authenticity of the Bible. Yeah, he started a movement there. Well, common sense, what? Ole, good evening.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening.
God bless you for the good work that you people are doing over there.
We bless God.
I've been listening to Issues of Life since Pastor Eben. Is it Pastor Eben, the one?
No, Pastor Joe.
Who died?
Pastor Joe.
Yeah. You know, Spirit FM is my station. I've never changed my dial from Spirit FM.
Wow.
And I always encourage people to listen. But I thank you for what you are just discussing. It's exactly the thing that is stealing the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is stealing the church. We've lost the spiritual aspect of our Christian life, and now we are bringing in all these worldly things into the church.
Mm-hmm.
So, I pray that God will give you the strength and the knowledge, the skills to be able to teach us more about. But I've been searching for your number. I'm not going to tell if I can get you one-on-one.
Oh, okay. Oh, I mention it all the time. 0244-638-757.
Okay. I hear. Thank you very much for serving.
Welcome. Right. I'm a brother, Brother Eben. All right, 0546898888. And then for SMS, 0244-638-757. I think we have another caller on the line. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, Brother Eben.
Good evening, all.
My name is Stanley, calling from Ashtown.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Brother Eben, whatever that you people are saying is the truth. But the church is facing some challenges. The challenges the church is facing right now is the church is interested in getting monies to go and pay assessments at the head office, at the various head office. So instead of them telling us what the scriptures is to tell us to do, no, they are not doing it that way. Because if you're a real minister and you don't pay your assessments, you'll be in trouble. But if you're a real minister and you're able to raise your assessments and pay it, as head office demands is that, you are free. Now look, Shatawale's book is being sent to class 4 for them to study it. Mm-hmm. Class 4, Shatawale. Class 5, Mighty Stone Boy. And class 6, then it, as they are going, it aggrades them. By the time we realize, we've lost all the youth.
Mm-hmm.
In 30 years' time, these 4 years people are going to rule this nation. So what is the nation, what is Ghana looking up for? Just take a look at how the future will be. Mm-hmm. You'll be more than America.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be more than them. It's no true. Wonder we started this American thing here. It's also our agenda. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you all. You know, in as much as we blame the church, we should blame ourselves because no one stops us from building our spiritual capacity. No one stops us from reading the Bible ourselves. No one stops us from knowing God ourselves. Okay, we have another caller.
Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah. I don't want to say.
Yeah, Boko.
Yeah, the Raja say. More in and person in Basu Kaka.
Okay.
Maybe. Fortunately, you got the free. At your teach me.
Okay.
Martin, someone more can you know? Now, I never could say, hi, na Christopher Nankasano, Yankasani, I hear you will be to say, say, natural. And she said, yeah, you be here, quite this idea, yeah, pin will be asking, yeah, be here, you know. And no, na, I say, yeah, quite sorry. Oh, quite sorry. No, I call candy, whoop, then I'll go for yamo. And yes, I'm so sorry, I'll go for him in it here. And she said, I'm your man, of course, who used to me, and quite a normal was to come when they say, as a Tawalina, or Modena Baby, is here, it's not your man, of course, on air time. Meaning, I'm in penny for no, you then cocker. You see, I am sorry, I hear from this person. I'm going to say this. Mr. 1988, my scripture, you know, my age, it's a scripture, you know, and it's a team. And you see, I'm a new man, I'm a German, I'm sorry. Who was the organization that was checking me in Nanda? A German, we are the cocker. We are the cocker. And to say, we need to be in the house at the minute and I go from and no woman grow in pay. Who need to be people in the room who said, no man, cause what's happening. Asafuna e jamai kuma. Nchete sisi na bana wezi zolia wewe maisi na wewe miye kusidi miye se ni njana. Nchia trosem. Mume ya ni naho. Umo mufri soma ya Kristo dino. Umo nsi umo kasa abra bopi. Umo muzo umo babra bokongkong. Na nyumba ya kuswa niye fe nsi ho. Wa ube wo school biano. Nkebe ya mume ya ni demonstration. Efe nbizi abai. Ene ntelefono mo tia ayinu. Umo wa umayinu no. Masa maana mbeda mwati.
You know, in that American say, yes, so, as individuals. And see, yeah, they need to have so, I say, oh, now, so, na dear one boy, and all that, na and also say, yes, because I don't know, you know, judgment day, and yeah, we are thing as sorry, a individual will be each one for himself, or so for cry, or no, in see, I see you who say, yeah, I see your boy. It's like, yeah, fat. And Shebre, she answer, say, each one for himself. Wow, bon, by now, be able to make a heaven, no? Obey. We should move to that level where it's like, let's know that our destiny lies in our home. We have to fight for our own destiny. Not depending on a pastor to help us, not depending on a pastor to show us the way to heaven. We should now ensure that it's just like you are someone going to school in a school, excuse me to say, it's not too well endowed. If you don't go for private classes, you know that you can't go to heaven. You can't pass and go to the next level in your whichever place you find yourself. So you see people who village school cry, but they've been able to manage to get to university. And when they share the experiences, they will tell you they were crossing the rivers barefooted, but they were even learning with candles and bobo and all those things on their own. There were no teachers, but they took it upon themselves that no, they want to be somebody in future. You see, so we should have that same passion and zeal towards heaven, that we want to go to heaven at all costs. So irrespective of what is happening in the system, the church or the society and all, it's each one for himself will fight and do what we have to do to go to heaven. You have another caller. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Yeah. You know what?
Please, can you lower your radio and then you speak up a bit?
It was this thing that I got to know, this thing that they are talking about.
Excuse me, your voice is very low. Please lower your radio and then speak up a bit for me.
I've lowered it, but can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah.
It was just this event ahead of the prayer, the fact that they have, you know, introduced Dr. Wale into this last four people book.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying that I exclaimed, so people were saying, I said, how come they have introduced the guy? Because those who wrote the book, so weren't any Christians among those who wrote the book? When they were making their input, could they stand against it? You know, this Alice Bailey's vision.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that the spirit of the child is not, the body is small, but the spirit of the child is grown and open because the spirit comes from the Lord. And because the spirit comes from the Lord, anything that they introduce to this, they will be open to take it. And by so doing, they destroy our generation. So if all Christians, the Christian leaders and the distant rise up against this thing, I think it will go a long way to help our generation.
Thank you too. 0546-898-888. And whilst I read some messages as well. Okay, this one says, okay, God bless you. I've listened to Issues of Life for almost a decade now. The problem with our generation is that many so-called professing Christians are ignorant of the word of God. 100% correct. Or God himself. Yes, that's also true. Many people are born into Christianity, and that's it. So they think they are safe. Yeah, that's also another angle from it. People are born into Christian homes, but they don't know Christ. And this is another deception we should be mindful of, especially parents who think their children are godly because they were born into a Christian home, we read the Bible at home and all, but they are not living the Bible, as it were. I mean, okay, let me pick this call and then... hello, good evening.
Good evening, brother.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, you're on air.
I'm sure I'll call you, my dear.
Yo, amen.
Oh, sir, I said, now, can I... I'm a question, piece of phone. That was it. Yeah, so, you may need a honey, say, Bible. But... If you go to say, "Any other one, no, no," you may not be able to see it. That's why they. That one year, what? If you remember, the car was in the middle. I saw now. And to why you know one now who say, who bomb what in our senior Bible, no move to walk back to the real say, who corner on your down post fit net down. How can you stand? And the question is a big senior school, a class by you, but they go ahead. You can't get it saying, and woman was opportunity to see a groom, a good school, equivalent in education level. And sometimes I also blame leaders. on Christian Council, if you want to so call them the Council people, where are they? What are they doing? Surprise. Already said all that.
Yo, once what can say? Ultimately, I mean, leaders will still be held accountable. God will hold pastors accountable anyway at the end of the day. And but the issue is your soul, it's your life. Even if your pastor is held accountable and you end up in hell, you are still in hell anyway. It's too late. So we should do whatever it is not to be deceived. That's the important part of it. Okay, we have another caller.
Hello, Pacho. Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Pacho, Kasa Den Kakra.
Pacho, Femi, Uwe, and Jeffrey, Mwatu, and Sue. Pacho, Mr. Eden, Nakupu, and Sharp.
Amen.
Na, Efa, Yamiatama, Ode Abre, Miami, a Sunday teacher. Na, and you may go over. Miami, to meet you, man, yes. And could they want to meet you? I will fall.
Mm-hmm.
And now, a church chef. And now, Christian leaders. Omuniaka. I will fall the Bible to the pastor. Omu the office, the mountain. Nikus, you have the. I was on the moment to ya. Give me a time to say a crown to see him. Hey, I knew who are you, Jenny, you know, I'm not Sunday school teacher. You know, my sack, my mom, Castle of Amber, sorry. I'm going to offer you a Christ to some in the Christian life. Teacher's name, just a small door now, or it has a show movie. And if the media may trust a wow for no good media can ask them what trust it, a satan, a wolf one, a crown, amateur editor, it will be a more active directly. There's no music we write person, I'm a little banal, a man winning rounds, no one near can I had to obey. In the Bible, the able said, if you ask me, I'm not used to say, a bed. Hey, yet dry, yet the man, and hope for me, I'm a baby. I'm a baby. In teacher, I said, yeah, I say, who can your boy, your bonfire, my eye. Now, you say, we be seeing in panels or so at now. I will see any assault, any school, that.
You know, our brother has raised a very serious issue. I remember last month I read the reports on the COVID lockdowns for churches in various countries, and the article was really exposing how the lockdown of churches has affected a lot of parents, has exposed the weakness of parents bringing their children in the fear of God, because a lot of parents neglected that role of upbringing of their children in the fear of God and relegated it to Sunday school teachers. So now the churches are closed and we are not going to Sunday school, the children are now at home. Parents, some parents are struggling to now teach their children in the fear of God or things about God or the Bible, which shouldn't have been so. Ideally, the house rather should be the starting point of training them in the fear of God, and the Sunday school is just a top-up. But for most homes, the Sunday school is rather the main upbringing of or is training the children in the fear of God, and then the home, little or none, is none for most on the side of most parents. And it's very wrong. The training should start at home. Upbringing of the children in the fear of God and teaching them and all should start from the house. So Sunday school, there is just a top up. 1 hour, they just go and top up for something. Uh-huh. But the real fear of God, the child growing and knowing God and standing and knowing everything about God, and it should be from the home. It's the responsibility of the parents. And you know, these are very serious issues at stake. I mean, I have some materials on children about end time. It's in PDF. I mean, it's quite a lot. I mean, different books on children. I mean, as many parents who are interested in some of these things, you send me a WhatsApp, email or WhatsApp, sorry. some are too big for WhatsApp, so that means email will be the best. So this one is modern way. So if you don't have an email by now, then please, so I can help you. So if you have an email, which you should anyway, but if you don't, I don't know how else. But for those who have emails, parents who would want this material where you can print it for your children, or even they can read it on a tablet or computer or something. But some are activity books where, you know, the children will do activity, like they can, you know, puzzles and things. So if you can afford to print, it will also be good. So you send me your email, email address. So you send to my WhatsApp, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And these materials are really good. Even adults, you learn a lot of stuff from it. But it's been written and modeled purposely for children, you know. And, you know, we should go extra effort, everything we can to ensure that our children grow in the fear of God. Last two weeks, a pastor friend in Accra was telling me about, he took the children to their grandmom, and his other siblings too came, and one of his nephews or nieces was celebrating the birthday. And so later he got to know, he saw the video, they were playing worldly songs, and but his three boys were sitting there quietly. They didn't show any interest. So one of the sisters called this pastor friend and said, "Hey, Mumbai dear." It's like, you know, and my friend was, when he called me, he was happy because it's like, wow, Eben, the things you are teaching them is not going waste too. Because if the children can independently on their own, their father is not there, their mother is not there to tell them, don't dance to these things. But they can decide for themselves that we will not dance to these songs. These are the songs that this is their evil song. We shouldn't dance to it. And even when all their cousins, everybody is happy dancing in grandma's house, the three of them, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decide that they will not be part of this. It's a good decision. You see, but it didn't come one day. It's a period of training the child. You know, it's important. We have to invest in them. Recently, I had to go to Accra. My children are in Accra, with their grandmom. And there was a camp for children, one day camp for children. Because of that, I had to go to Accra and took them to the camp for the one day because I needed them to be there at that program. You see, we should pay maximum, as much as we pay attention to their academics and all that, we should even do extra when it comes to their spiritual lives. We should, because you see, there's a battle going on. And the battle has stepped up to another level because God is going to use children a lot in these end times. The end time revival and all that is coming. Children have a major role to play. And the devil knows it all. He knows it. So he started with this the abortion to make sure that as many children as possible can be killed. So if you fail abortion and you are born, okay, then let's destroy you spiritually through the educational system, through the entertainment system, the cartoons, the movies, and then all these shatawale things, so that the children cannot live to be the prophets and the end time warriors that God wants to use them for. Satan wants to curtail those things by introducing all these things at that early level. But you see, that's why this is where parents, spiritual parents and Christians, should see that this is a battle that the devil is bringing to our doorstep. And we must resist it and oppose it and do what we can to ensure that our children, at least if we can't save others, our children, we should take control and ensure that they do not come under the trap of the enemy. It's a very serious issue that is happening. It's a real serious issue. So for parents who are carnal and don't see anything wrong, you know, there are parents' home where mother is complaining that, the children should not watch these TV programs, and the father doesn't see where they're not here, or father is complaining, mother, oh, where they're not, mom, she. You know, we should draw the line and know that these things are no-go areas. We should control what they watch, control what they listen to, control them, because they are your children. You will give account to God one day for the children he gave you. The children he's giving us, they are for signs and wonders. But, you know, how can they perform signs and wonders when they don't even know anything in the Bible? They don't know anything because spiritually they are damp. We are not growing, letting them grow in the fear of God, because we ourselves as parents, so how can our children be any better than us when we ourselves, we don't even know our left from our right spiritually? You see, so we have a battle to really fight, and these are serious issues we have to deal with. I believe God willing, next week I'll be continuing, because these are issues that have been bothering me, and they are real serious issues we have to deal with. And parents, we have to know that the souls of our children depends on the steps and decisions we take today. Your child going to heaven or hell depends on you, the father or the mother. Yes, you, the mother and the father. If your child goes to hell, it's your responsibility, because you didn't, the Bible is clear, train up a child in the way, in the, what's the, I've got, the way he should go, and when he grows, he shall not, he will not depart from it. It's a spiritual principle. You know, just as you throw a stone up, law of gravity, it will come down. When a bird opens the wings and it moves it at another, a certain angle, it can fly up. The same principle was used for an aeroplane. Aerodynamics, law of aerodynamics and all these things and all. The same principle applies. If you train up a child in the way he should go, in the fear of God, he will not depart from it. He may branch, yes, he may fall, and but eventually, as you pray and things, he will still come back on track. He will not depart from it. It's a principle. It's a spiritual principle. So if we abide by these things, then we can know that we are growing a generation, or our children are going to heaven with us. That's even if we ourselves are going anyway. But we should make up our minds that we are going to heaven with our children. You know, the time has come for us to know that the worldly things will not benefit us anywhere. It won't take us anywhere. You know, I mean, I wear some football, I wear some worldly music. Music videos are so sensual and, you know, lustful. You know, the TV, my TV, I've not turned it on in almost a month now. Because, I mean, what am I watching? It's once the news and things come, okay, because I work online most of the time, it's like I get the news I want. So I've not turned on the TV for about a month now. I've not, because you see, what is there that is attractive, that I really, once in a while, maybe some of the president's speeches, then maybe I put it on those times. But, you know, entertainment, to watch what? Music videos. Even the Christian music video, a lot of it are even now dirty. You see, so we should control what we love. The thing, our love and our passion for worldly things, let's start controlling them. Let's start controlling them. Because if we fail to control these things in our lives, these same things will devour us one day and drop us into hell. This has been Eben. Oh, this is Eben. God willing, next week, I'll be coming your way. And I pray we'll be continuing. And let's do what we can to grow ourselves spiritually and also help our children. For those who want to send their emails, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And Issues of Life is the program. Good night and God bless you.